I'll be reading out of Hebrews 11, 1 through confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave his approval to people in days of old because of their faith. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. God accepted Abel's offering to show that he was a righteous man. And although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us because of his faith.
Thank you, Dee. Yeah, opening up out of Hebrews 11. Again, we talked about this briefly. For those who were here last Sunday, we started a new series here for the new year, talking about how do we grow in our faith? How do we allow our faith to impact us more directly and more deeply? We're calling that running the race, because that's what the writer of Hebrews called it. In Hebrews 12, which is the verses that follow this section in Hebrews 11, you probably knew that, right? What comes after Hebrews 11? Hebrews 12. Gosh, you're Bible experts. Hebrews are on fire today. The author of Hebrews says, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of great entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. And so that's what we're about. In these next few weeks, we're going to be about that, looking at this, what he calls a cloud of witnesses. These are examples, historical examples, coming out of the Bible, Bible times, Bible characters that we may have heard of. Maybe some of them you've never heard of. Some are going to be famous, some are going to be rather infamous, but we're going to be looking at some different examples of what the author of Hebrews said. These are the keys for us as we grow in our faith. These are examples that we can follow, that we can emulate, to allow our faith to have a greater impact upon our life. And so that's the conclusion of this section, this great cloud of witnesses that we have. So that's our big picture goal, but we're going to be looking at different characters in this list. If you read through chapter 11, I'd encourage you, if you haven't already done so, to some point this week, open up your Bible, open to the book Hebrews, look for chapter 11, and read all of what it says. Dee read those first four verses for us today. Yeah, started off with that great verse, isn't it? That faith being the confidence of what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. There's something really profound. What is faith? Even though this, Hebrews says, is what the angels, even though they didn't know about, or even though they didn't see Jesus, even though something unseen going on about, even though they didn't, and they began to turn their attention to the God who they could not see and place their faith in this one they could not see, even though they didn't maybe have the word yet, even though they didn't have the sacrifice yet, even though they didn't have any of that, but yet they began to become, the first person on the list is someone by the name of Abel. Now, a lot of us have heard about Abel. He is part of that first family. If you go back into your Old Testament account of Genesis, he was the oldest brother in the family, son, according to the account. The name of the first son? Eve. The oldest, yes. We've got some Bible experts here. For those of you who don't know who Cain and Abel are, we'll be reading and talking about that today. But Abel, the younger brother, is the one that is featured today in the Hall of Faith. Hall of Faith. And I bring this up because Abel really, until we get to Hebrews 11, Abel is always kind of the other brother. He's the one that we don't think of. When you read the story, it's all about Cain. Cain gets all the attention. Cain gets the interactions with. We get to get inside of Cain's head. Abel's faith that was so much about. We're going to explore what that is because it might be able to help us in our growing faith, to understand what it is that is so outstanding about this faith of Abel, that he is able to speak to it for us. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. Again, and by faith, Abel still speaks even though he found dead. Now again, if you do this business, what is it about? This is going to be a weird sound. Righteous because of the way he presented an offering. what is going on here? And for us to understand, we have to go back into our Old Testament. So this is very, in Genesis 4, Bible, open to the first page and you'll find Genesis. Just go turn a page or two or three and you'll be at Genesis chapter 4. This is very early in the Bible account. Again, as I said, they were the children, the sons of Adam. If you know that part of the story, you'll catch pregnant. She gave birth. Chapter 4, it says, she said, with the help of the Lord, she became pregnant, a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil, that portion, an offering to the Lord, and Abel of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was and his face dead. If you know the story from Genesis, I'm going to stop there. You know that this is the lead-in to a terrible situation, this sibling rivalry, horrible, as this anger, this bitterness that begins to grow up, this envy, this jealousy that grows up in Cain, the first him to the point where he invites his brother out first, instance of this kind of violence working its way into our historical account begins comes, and we see this way from the perfection of Eden steps as we begin to see the depravity of humanity coming to its full display, the full display that really all of us understand and know, don't we? When we look now, we say, "Man, this world is messed up." Yeah, I like some of these people, but they're really messed up too. Yeah, this is something that goes on, you know, that then leads us tend to focus on the consequences that happen later on in the chapter. But Abel is almost overlooked in this section. It's familiar to all of us. We all are drawn to Cain. A cautionary tale, isn't he? He's the cautionary tale. He's the one that we are to relate to, folks. You say, no, I don't relate to Cain. Ever felt you should? Ever felt anger or resentment beginning to grow up in us because we feel insecure? Anyone here feel any of those things ever? Your name is Cain. Fall. Every time we lose, ever said that? Your name is Cain. To do something differently with life, and we cling to better life. Thinking that my happiness is dependent upon somebody is so relatable to us, but then we don't relate to him. We always think of him as the villain. And we don't think of ourselves as the villain. We just act like him. Well, don't tell me about it. Tell Ax's brother. I really don't want to hear it right now. See, don't tell me. Yeah, I relate to that too. No, don't please. That we focus our attention as we read them, who is this cautionary tale of what can happen to any and all of us. Because all of these things, these roots of insecurity, these roots of bitterness, these roots of anger that flash and cause violence, they are all within us. Almost always over. We see that it's going on. So as we look at this today, I want to say, what is it about these two that separates, that what is it about Abel's life? Again, there's only here in Hebrews to they both made offerings. This is clear from both. Honk, honk. Because it seems, what would presenting an offering, how could that be offensive? What would be offensive, or what's a good offering, what's a bad offering? I hope we had our offering here this morning, and some would hate to have this be a us. Abel kept flocks. Cain worked the soil. So in the pro, brought some of his crop as an offering to God. Sounds good so far? Tender brought, sounds good so far. Also brought an offering. It's described as fat portions from some meat. So what's going on here? What's the difference between some of your produce and produce, some of the fat here. If we have the first fruits, there is something. All of us, when we make an offering, we give something. Is it the very best of what we have to offer? Christians, this would be the prime. And it seems to be doing meat cutters here. Oh, yeah, we got a few. Okay. Maybe you don't say, here, have the fatty portion. But you want your meat to have a nice marbling in it. You want all the good stuff in from the taste a lot better. Okay, it's what he made his offering out of. Cain made his offering of some of what he had. Of difference in the that we're talking here. The very best from the firstborn. Why would it be difficult to make your offering out of the firstborn of your flock? Want to give away the firstborn of the flock because you don't know for sure if there's going to be more coming down the line or not. And so to make an offering out of what is having before you know what the rest is going to be is an end to write my tithe at the start, not at the end of the month when I get to the end and see how much money I have rest of what you have out of that which is most critical because you are trusting that God in his goodness is going to provide of presenting an offering. It's that fear that we're not going to have enough. Fear that God, as my provider, is really asking me to provide for myself. And so I'm going to try to do that on simply this real quick. The question is, why do I give? Some people give out of a sense of duty or obligation. It's like, okay, I go to church, so I know it's the right thing to do. I should give something of what I do in as an offering to God. It's okay. I'm not going to complain with anyone who makes a gift, feeling offering, responsibility or duty, modeling for us. Some people give out of a sense of fear. And this was especially in ancient gods. It was a big deal. There's a superstition. It's kind of a karma thinking. He's the gods. He didn't. But it was common. And you think about it. You've all heard of it. You know, these people who would sacrifice members of their community into a volcano. Why do they do gods? Because it was cool throwing people into volcanoes. Afraid of what? That the volcano is going to erupt and they're all going to be killed. So the only way to keep everyone from being killed would be to sacrifice one. Or the Canaanite gods back in Bible time. They were afraid there would be no sacrifice infants, crops, and the whole community would be wiped out. It wasn't that they liked sacrificing their children, but they were afraid if they didn't do, something worse would happen. I want to make God mad, so I better give something and keep him at least appeased, keep him in the corner and keep him appeased. But the model of Abel is this, giving with a sense of joy, that there is something that is going to be so amazing about, as Val was talking about. We have such an amazing God, such a great provider, and yet we... But Abel, because we kind of, we're better. Duh, fatty portions of the firstborn, the prime, the first cut, the very most important thing to say, I trust God with it all. I will offer him my best, my very best. And what stops us from that? It is that fear that we won't have enough. Life is completely dependent upon me. We get into the, make it happen. But this Abel invites us to say, no, it's not about me. It's about trusting that God will do it. Sure, sometimes we cry out when we're really stuck, but most of us live lives at our very if that we ignore his invitation to trust him. We're just doing this. We ignore his invitation to come and rest in his faithfulness. And we have the idea that he loves a cheerful giver. The New Testament moves. Because there is something in that when we are set free from the fear that says, I won't have enough, I won't be able to provide. And we all move to that place where we say, the Lord is, when we move into he provides free mentality of trusting in the goodness of our shepherd, we, like Abel, are set that free in our faith. And this invites us to come to first in a different way, to rest in a different way, to trust in a different way, and to grow in a different way. And it's interesting to me that he starts off with this one ancient story, viewed God from two different perspectives. God is the God I want, or God is the God on that leash, and I want to celebrate and relish his faithfulness in. We're invited to celebrate his good news. not only of the cloud of witnesses around us, but of your invitation to us to a greater way, to a greater sense of your goodness as we rest. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the ability to grow and to allow you to be the one who controls our life, provides for our needs, who meets us in our dark places. So God, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would lead us as your people in Jesus' name.